Hello, I'm Daryl Root, and this is News Folder 19, the podcast that is like your appendix. Scientists aren't sure why it exists. People can live without it, yet you don't want to have to remove it anytime soon. With all jokes aside, this is perhaps my most serious podcast to date, so please listen to the entire thing. Only three topics today instead of five. I'll cover the first two as usual, take my usual break one story early, and then end with a final double-length topic. It is one that will contain opinions I would never put on Facebook or YouTube for fear of a temporary ban because of their political correctness. As usual, please consider shopping the sponsor's webpage at campridger.net, that's campridger.net. It's a seasonings company with four different blends: a steak seasoning, a poultry seasoning, a seafood seasoning, and a chili blend. All are salt-free, so you can salt to taste, and all come in one-cup containers, which last a long time. They can be had for as little as $7 per container when buying four or more. Thank you. With that, let's get right into the news. News story number one. How do you think all that COVID-funded American Rescue Plan money should be spent? Personally, I don't think it should ever be spent at all because we never should have shut down the economy to begin with. However, since it is being spent, it should be spent wisely, such as for people who lost jobs during the shutdown, maybe to pay medical bills for people who died from COVID, etc. The point is, it should be used for expenses directly related to COVID issues. It shouldn't be used to equip police forces, build jails, public parks, and other wannabe expenses, such as the following one. Let's travel to Brookline, Massachusetts, which has consistently had turkey problems in their town. That's right, turkeys. They are known to take over sidewalks, front yards, and even fall out of trees. Yes, that's a thing. They can sleep in trees. Earlier this month, the town announced it would capitalize on its turkey dilemma by creating 10 larger-than-life fiberglass turkey art installations and placing them in popular areas. The town is asking for the public's input on themes for the turkeys and proposed locations. The town plans to give $1,000 to any artist winning themes in addition to the cost of making them. So, what do turkeys, turkey statues, and COVID funds have in common? If you're smart, you've already figured out the answer. Brookline, Massachusetts plans on using taxpayer dollars thrown into COVID to build the statues and place them in prominent parts of town. Could there possibly be a bigger waste of taxpayer money? Don't even answer that because the questioner is rhetorical. It's government. Things can always get worse. The same thing happened with tobacco settlement money. It's about to happen with opioid settlement money, and it happens with all other government boondoggles and scams. Very little money gets spent on what it should or what the overlords say it should. It gets wasted on idiotic schemes and worthless projects like turkeys that benefit absolutely no one other than the handful of people making these stupid turkeys. Building turkey statues with money that was supposed to benefit the negative effects of an arguably death-causing medical pandemic is fraud. Taxpayers should vandalize these turkeys with, quote, quit wasting our tax money, unquote, graffiti. Am I actually saying you should go out to do it? Again, rhetorical. News story number two. What do Brown University, the California Institute of Technology, University of Chicago, Columbia, Cornell, Dartmouth, Duke, Emory, Georgetown, Johns Hopkins, MIT, Northwestern, Notre Dame, Penn, Rice, Vanderbilt, and Yale have in common. Whew, that was a list. Each one of these 17 colleges have been accused of colluding to fix the amount of financial aid they offered to students. Thus far, 10 of them have agreed to a settlement despite denying any substance to the charges. Could that be because they know they are guilty? The last four charged, which are Dartmouth, Rice, Northwestern, and Vanderbilt, will pay a total of $166 million to resolve the claims against them, according to a court filing. So if you plan on attending any of these colleges, plan on higher costs, because you know if you listen to this podcast, business expenses always get passed on to consumers. The total settlement for those who have settled has currently reached $284 million. How is the settlement being spent? Basically, rebates. It's estimated that each student in the class will receive about $750 from the settlements, which still must be approved by a judge. And of course, the money for that's going to come from future students. The plaintiffs alleged the universities engaged in a price-fixing scheme by sharing a methodology for how much financial aid would be awarded to prospective students, specifically stating that the universities, quote, participated in a price-fixing cartel designed to reduce or eliminate financial aid, and that doing so artificially inflated the net price of attendance for students receiving financial aid, unquote. This is what happens when government starts giving out money. Colleges inflate the price so they get the money. If true, that would violate Section 568 of the Improving America's Schools Act of 1994, which states that universities can't collaborate when considering applicants' financial need in their individual admission decisions. So there you have it, colleges skimming more money off of its students. With that, it's time to take a short break. I'll be back in about 30 seconds.
Only 15% of podcasters will ever earn a single penny in profit. Yet more continue to record for one reason. They enjoy informing and entertaining. If you'd like to support this show, visit newsfolder19.com and click on the Buy Me a Coffee or merchandise links. All donations are greatly appreciated. Now, back to the show.
Hello, and welcome back to News Folder 19. If you'd like to support the show, please go to newsfolder19.com/support. You'll find numerous ways to support the show. Just click on one of them, take your choice. And I thank you in advance for doing so. News story number 3. This is the big one. Double length. The United Nations leading expert on food states that Israel is intentionally starving Palestinians and should be held accountable for war crimes and genocide, and I couldn't agree anymore. Well, yes, I can. Stay tuned for what I think should be done. Facebook would probably ban me temporarily for my opinion, so that's kind of why I'm calling this the episode of Censored News. Hunger and severe malnutrition are widespread in the Gaza Strip, where about 2.2 million Palestinians are facing severe shortages resulting from Israel destroying food supplies and severely restricting the flow of food, medicines, and other humanitarian supplies. Aid trucks and Palestinians waiting for humanitarian relief have come under Israeli fire. Quote, There is no reason to intentionally block the passage of humanitarian aid or intentionally obliterate small-scale fishing vessels, greenhouses, and orchards in Gaza other than to deny people access to food, unquote, stated Michael Fakhri, the UN special reporter. Quote, intentionally depriving people of food is clearly a war crime. Israel has announced its intention to destroy the Palestinian people in whole or in part simply for being Palestinian. In my view as a UN human rights expert, this is now a situation of genocide, unquote. Well, welcome to the common sense train. Anyone with a modicum of intelligence can see this for what it is. In northern Gaza alone, 300,000 people, or one-seventh of the Gaza Strip population, are trapped with virtually no food aid being allowed in by Israel. Reports have emerged of parents feeding their children animal feed in hopes of keeping them alive. The number of acutely malnourished children under the age of 5 is sixfold compared to prior to the conflict. UNICEF, as of my writing this script, has not had access to the north despite frequent requests since the 1st of January. Fakhri stated that, quote, the wasting and stunting of children is torturous and vile. It will have a long-term impact on the population physically, cognitively, and morally. All things indicate that this has been intentional, unquote. You think? Indispensable objects such as food, water, and shelter, which Israel is systematically denying Palestinians. Starvation is a war crime under the Geneva Conventions and the Rome Statute. Across Gaza, 95% of households are restricting meals and portion size, with adults going without to feed small children. And what little food people do have lacks essential nutrients needed for humans to grow and thrive physically and cognitively. On average, the households that have been checked had less than 1 liter of safe water per person per day. At least 90% of the children under 5 are affected by one or more infectious diseases. The speed of the malnutrition crisis speaks to the fact that even before this war, half of Gazans were food insecure and almost 80% relied on humanitarian aid due to the 16-year-old blockade by the real evil empire, better known as Israel. A 2019 study on small-scale agriculture in the Palestinian territories found that, quote, the Israeli occupation is the most important single driver of food and nutrition insecurity. This was before the conflict. Quote, we have never seen a civilian population made to go so hungry, so quickly, and so completely that it is the consensus among starvation experts. Israel is not just targeting civilians, it is trying to damn the future of the Palestinian people by harming the children, unquote. Israel has even made foraging for native wild herbs, such as thyme and sage, a criminal offense punishable by fines and up to 3 years imprisonment for trying to feed yourself. And it could get worse. In late January, more than a dozen countries, including the US, the UK, Germany, Australia, and Canada, suspended funds to the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine refugees. Don't be fooled. This is genocide, and the U.S. is participating. It could stop with one phone call. The Israeli government argues that its war is against Hamas and a justified response to the unprecedented cross-border attack on the 7th of October, which left more than 1,100 people dead. Bullshit. This is about destroying as many people as possible and eliminating another religious citizenry. Prior to the conflict, Israel estimated there were 20 to 25,000 Hamas fighters. They have supposedly captured or killed 8,000 of them. At that rate, based on the number of Palestinians already dead, Israel will end up killing well over 100,000 Palestinians in their effort to eliminate Hamas, or about 5% of the population. And it's never going to completely happen. You will never totally kill Hamas. This is about genocide, nothing else, not about eliminating Hamas. Netanyahu is another Hitler. Yeah, I said it. He's a Hitler. And if I were a trained assassin, I'd be secretly on my way to Israel to eliminate that son of a bitch. But since America supposedly doesn't assassinate people, this is what I would do if I were president. I'd get on the goddamn phone, call the asshole with the following warning. Quote, you have 24 hours to cease your attacks on Palestine, start a complete withdrawal, and start making plans to rebuild the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Failure to do so will result in American bombs being dropped on every Israeli military installation you have, to the point where not only will you be incapable of attacking others, but you won't be able to defend yourself against a small group of Arab children with pea shooters. Stop now, or we will be your worst enemy. Unquote. As far as I'm concerned, Israel deserves to be wiped off the face of the damn planet. Note, I did not say the Jewish people. They have the right to exist as much as anyone else. The state of Israel, however, under Hitler Yahoo, no longer does. As for the United States, our support of Israel and our innocent bystander status makes us just as guilty. It took 5 months to start dropping Arab-based humanitarian relief. Seriously? I'm proud to be American, but up until now, I've never truly have been embarrassed to be one. This is embarrassing that we're letting this continue. Could we please have a coalition of quality political candidates who actually give a damn, and a nation of quality voters who actually give a damn, to vote them into office? Because right now, sad to say, we have very few of either. With that, it's time to call it another podcast. I'll catch you next time. Thank you. You know the mantra, question authority, and always be free.
Thank you for listening to News Folder 19. All rights are reserved and unauthorized use is prohibited. However, you may share the podcast links. Till next time, have a great day.